Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. On this episode, we get a little awkward all over the place. We talk about Awkward Fest 2014 with the festival founder, Brian Staker. We also hear some music from Get Stakerized as well as Magic Mint, both playing at Awkward Fest. And we'll talk to Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp, Utah about some of the more awkward dining experiences in Salt Lake City and beyond. We are very happy to have Brian Staker in the studio once again this year. As all of you know, of course, Brian's been a writer for Slug. He's also more prominently known as the host of his own podcast, The Awkward Hour. He brings on guests to chat about who they are, what they're up to in the art scene, music scene, a variety of things, and talk about a few odd topics. The Awkward Hour is celebrating its 6th anniversary later this week and celebrating with the 2nd Awkward Fest, and it's going to be held at the Utah Arts Hub. Brian, first, welcome, and thanks for coming into our little multicolored studio here.
Well, thank you once again. Yeah, thanks once again. And I think I don't.
So okay. Why don't you tell us, first of all, last year was the first Awkward Fest. What are you sort of the hot plans for, you know, upgrading, improving? What changes are you making to it this year?
This is great. Well, the biggest thing is the venue last year was at the Complex, and that had some pluses and minuses, so we changed it this year. It's going to be at the Utah Arts Hub, Utah Arts Alliance, same thing, yeah. Utah, their gallery. And they also have an outdoor stage just off the outside the door of the gallery that's really cool for the bands to play.
Yeah.
And so we've got some comedians, and just as last year, the format, the first part of the day, comedians, some time to mix around. We'll have food provided, some nice snacks and stuff, and then bands play the last half of the event is bands. And artwork on the wall, including my own artwork, as rough, awkward as it is, and a few other local artists, and also some community booths.
Oh, nice.
Local artists and community groups.
And so this is like an all-day affair, pretty much, like a noon to 8 o'clock, right? Can you tell us, like, well, why don't we just start with some of the comedians? Who are you signed up? Who are you bringing in on the comedian side of things?
Okay, some of the funniest. I'm kind of subjective. I just pick who I think is funny.
Hey,
now, once again,
it's your fest.
Once again, the host of the event, the MC, Melissa Merlot, who was voted, City Weekly was voted her, the readers picked her the number one comedian in Salt Lake this last year. So that's
awesome.
Great to have her. And she's been, I've worked with her for a few years, and she's been a co-host that's worked with me on the Awkward Hour quite a bit.
Okay, perfect choice.
And then we've got Mark Hansen, who's kind of a rock and roll kind of comedian. He's great. And also, I love giving people crap about with the vape cigarette.
Oh, yeah,
e-cigarette.
Goofy. Thing. Yeah.
And then Johnny Brandon, who is, you never know what he's going to do. He wears, are you familiar? He wears like goofy costumes and characters and stuff like that.
Nice. We had him on the show.
That's great. Yeah. He's great. Yeah, I have to go listen to that. Yeah, he's, you never know what he's going to do.
And I would imagine at Awkward Fest, he might do something even beyond his normal stage.
I'm a little nervous. Insanity, yeah. And the headliner of the comedians is Jason Harvey, which is, he's becoming one of the better known. I mean, last year, a couple of the comedians, Brian Pope has gone on to bigger things, to trying to do comedy in the Big Apple, New York, where the comedians really make or break there. So he's moved on from our little awkward stage.
really going for it out there.
So those are some of the really great local comics.
Yeah, that's great. We're gonna have. That's an awesome outlet. And people who, you know, a lot of people don't go to comedy clubs, so they get a chance to go and check them out at a free event where they can see stuff in the middle of the day, get these guys some new audience. What about the music side of things? What do you have planned on that?
And the music side, we have opening, once again, is the carryover from last year, Nate Padley, and he's a solo acoustic singer-songwriter, plays acoustic guitar and piano. He's got a couple of CDs out. He's really great. That's the carryover from last year.
Nice.
And a friend of mine, Justin McBride, performs under the name Concentration Campus, and that's a lot of fun. It's very very awkward. He played a couple of weeks ago. He played at Diabolical Records. They have the local musicians play there every Friday night. That's great.
Yeah, nice.
Magic Mint, that's another solo act. Andrew Shaw.
Oh, right.
And I think he's part of Albino Father.
Oh, yep.
The band, I'm really excited about getting them because they're one of my favorite local bands.
Yeah, me too.
Real garage rock. I really like that. That's garage awesome. Rock type of thing.
Yeah.
And then Dan Morley, a real local legend, old school punk.
Yeah.
Musician, he's going to do some solo stuff, and then once again drum with me as he did last year.
Excellent.
In my Get Stakerized project.
Nice.
To round out the festival.
And now, did you finish it off last year as well?
Yeah, I did. I finished it off last year. Yeah. You can see those on YouTube. They were recorded in awkward vision.
So what were your impressions last year? I mean, you put a lot of work into this, obviously, this year, and you did last year as well. I mean, were you pretty happy with the way it went overall? You know, besides changing the place, was there anything you really wanted to switch up very much, or were you pretty happy with it?
There are certain problems with doing a festival like that and trying to show artwork at a bar club type of thing, which the complex is. And also, there were some logistical problems that, so this time I hope, it's an art gallery, so I hope it will be more conducive to
a little more focus on the artwork. Right?
Yeah, I mean, a bar, usually they're kind of dark and not well lit. It's a little hard to see the artwork.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of space for booths also, so right. This is going to be better that way.
Very nice. Excellent. And last year, did you guys do it at night? Did you do it in the evening last year?
No, it was during the day, too.
Okay, nice. And I imagine you guys are going to get a lot of great traffic of people walking by who are going to hear the sounds of the comedians and the bands. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, the Utah Arts Hub is located at 663 West 100 South in the Gateway.
It's not in the gateway. It's adjacent? A couple of blocks west of the gateway.
Oh, that's right.
They have their Urban Arts Gallery is in the gateway. They operate
that's right, too. Okay,
that's a great new gallery space. But this is their headquarters of the Utah Arts Alliance. Their headquarters with studios, and they have this main gallery space that we're going to use.
Oh,
and
nice.
That's a couple of blocks west of the gateway, 663
west,
just almost 7th West. Almost, you almost hit the freeway, and there's that, you know, you can't really go any farther.
It's the end of the line. Perfect. Well, can you tell us where can people find out more information online? You have it set up on Facebook, etc. What do you have going?
Okay, if you look up, search that event, there's an event listing on Facebook. People can RSVP. Also, I'm doing an Indiegogo fundraiser for it, which will be over. It's over tonight, so by the time this is posted. But you could still donate to my PayPal, getstakerized at hotmail.com. And the Indiegogo is under awkwardfest-2014. On Indiegogo. Yeah, we've raised a lot more money this year, so I'm pleased about that. That's onward and upward.
That's right.
First, doing a festival the very first time last year, I was actually, you think shit is going to go wrong, you know, and it's awkward, you know, and I was surprised how well it
not as awkward as an awkward festival.
I don't have experience putting on events. I like to think I'm the Perry Farrell of awkward. Awkward Palooza.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I'm sure it'll just get bigger and badder as it goes, and I'm glad to hear that you got some fundraising to help defray all the costs of all this great stuff. Awesome. Brian, thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate it. And once again, that's Saturday, April 12th from noon to 8 at the 663 West 100 South in downtown Salt Lake City.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Now that we've heard all about Awkward Fest 2014, we're going to play a track from Brian Staker's band Get Stakerized. This is a song called Dying by Degrees. Once again, Awkward Fest will be held this Saturday, April 12th at the Utah Arts Hub, located at 663 West 100 South in downtown SLC. The festival runs from noon to 8 p.m. For more information on the Awkward Hour podcast, the festival, and everything else Brian's involved with, look for the Awkward Hour on Facebook. And the band played on is Plan B Theater's celebration of the First Amendment, returning to the Rose Wagner on May 3rd, featuring Carrie, Bill, and Gina from X96, Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams, Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker, Salt Lake City Councilman Stan Penfold, actor Ann Decker, Utah State Senator Jim DeBacchus, and Utah State Representatives Joel Briscoe, Rebecca Chavez-Hout, Jennifer Seelig, and Carol Speckman-Moss, reading from band children's books. Tickets and info at planbtheater.org. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week beginning on Tuesday, April 8th and running through April 14th. As always, I would encourage you to go to slugmag.com, scroll down to the bottom of that homepage, check out those calendar listings. There's always great new stuff being added all the time. I found some amazing shows and other events going on this week. Let's start on Wednesday, April 9th, where one of the hottest young acts that I'm really excited to see, Lydia Loveless, is playing at the Garage. She's got a new record out on Bloodshot Records. Really amazing piece of work. Really excited to see her in the small, homey Garage. That same night, over at Salt Lake Acting Company, it's the opening night of 4,000 Miles, their latest production, always putting on a good show, and this is their last one for the spring until they get to Saturday's Voyeur later on in June. Thursday, April 10th, Beats Antique bring their amazing live show to Park City Live. Those guys put on a serious, like, aerial feats, a lot of kind of gypsy rock going on. It should be a nice sized room up there at Park City Live to capture that show. Down here at the Depot, G Love and Special Sauce, who seem to be kind of regulars around these parts, at least once a year, they're playing on that same night, Thursday, April 10th. And at Urban Lounge that night, another really great live band, P-Lander Z, Japanese rock, crazy characters, often off the stage as much as they are on stage. That should be a lot of fun. On Friday, April 11th, Chuck Reagan is headlining at the Depot. That is a big room for that guy, but he does some really great rootsy rock and roll. Really excited to see that one. Same night at the Utah Pride Center, it's the prom you never had. Yes, you'll want to put on your best gear. On Saturday, April 12th, Anthony Jeselnik is at the Depot. Really funny stand-up comic. Kind of cool that they're going to do a stand-up show at the Depot. There's going to be seats involved, so you want to go check out tickets, but he's a hot property on the comedy circuit. Had a really funny show on Comedy Central there. I don't know if they're bringing that back or not. Hopefully. And as we mentioned, that is the day of Awkward Fest at the Salt Lake City Arts Hub from noon till 8. Sunday, April 13th, it's the infamous String Dusters at the State Room, bringing a little of that bluegrassy sound to town. And then on Monday, April 14th, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, legendary group from New Orleans. They're from Preservation Hall, if you couldn't have guessed. That group has been around for decades. They are amazing live. I've seen them a couple of times. They're playing at the Capitol Theater as part of the Jazz at the Capitol Theater series. Well worth it. Even if you don't think you like jazz, these guys are a blast. They are a rockin' jazz band. That is your weekly daily calendar for the week of April 8th. As always, go to slugbag.com, check out those listings, and you can always add your own listings to the mix for free, or for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some quality links to your content. Magic Mint is a brand new solo project from Salt Lake City musician Andrew Shaw, who you probably recognize from other projects of his, like The Platt and Color Animal, both fine bands. This debut EP was written and recorded in the Zion Building at the Utah State Fair Park, and then mastered by Mike Sasich at Man vs. Music. This is a song called Sheep, off of the 2014 EP called Grand America. Thank you. Magic Mint will be playing Awkward Fest on April 12th, but times for bands have not been set as of yet. Check out that Awkward Fest website and see what you can find out. To download the EP, check them out at magicmint.bandcamp.com. And for more info on the band, visit them online at facebook.com/magicmintmusic. We are oh so pleased to welcome back Jeffrey Stedman.
Hello.
Into the studio.
Hey.
He is being awkward.
Hey.
It's the theme of the day. Of course, from Yelp, Utah, and you can find all kinds of great stuff on his Yelp, Utah website. We'll get to that info a little later. But first, we're going to talk about some of the more awkward dining / drinking experiences one can have here in Salt Lake City and beyond in Utah.
First of all, I want to recognize that you could listen to me in any episode of this podcast and you'd think it was about being awkward, because do you know what, that's just who I am.
Awkward.
I embrace it. So yeah, when we first started talking about places that were awkward, I thought, okay.
I don't know what that
why not
means yet.
But there are some places that are kind of awkward, and it's more about the concept being awkward than it is about the actual place. So I'm going to use a few examples here, and I don't mean to say, like, don't go to these places, they're awkward. I just mean to say there are some awkward components to them.
Kind of a funky setup, either physically or
that's
maybe
it
thematically or
that's
something
it
like that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, so the first awkwardness I want to talk about is Bodega at 331 South State Street. It's 3.5 out of 5 stars after 36 reviews. If you're unfamiliar, I don't think we've talked about it here before, but if you're unfamiliar, Bodega is kind of what it sounds like on top, and then there's this doorway that leads to this basement, and you get if you have a reservation, you get a key from the person, and you go and open the door, and you go down to this really dimly lit place for, like, food and cocktails.
Well said.
Does that cover
that
it?
Covers
is that,
it?
Is that kind of
you can
it
walk right by and think it really is just a little bodega if you didn't know.
Yeah.
It's a restaurant of reputedly high-end variety downstairs.
Yeah. Well, I guess some would call it a speakeasy kind
it's
of thing.
It's kind of hipstery.
Yeah, it was
you
really
know,
big in New York.
Bringing the urban vibe into Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Of that kind of, you know, you got to be in the know to know you want to go eat
yeah
there kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Which is awkward in itself sometimes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. The speakeasy thing was really big, I think, in, like, New York, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. So it's kind of awkward to walk in and, like, look at somebody. It's kind of like being on a first date. Are you
I can also vouch for the awkwardness of this. A friend of mine, his in-laws came to town. They thought it would be fun to take him to a new restaurant in Salt Lake. And, you know, it was all fine, but it was a little awkward for him to have the in-laws, and there's, like, you know, kind of Playboy centerfolds as part of the decoration downstairs and stuff. And, you know, when you have sort of an elderly man and woman, mother, the in-laws, you got to kind of know them pretty well to know they'll go for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's an awkward experience and it's an awkward place.
Good point. You know, that's just a good point overall. Know where you're going to take in-laws.
That's
just like,
right.
Like, period. Like, if you're like, oh, there's a pizza place, we'll go to this place called Pie Hole. And they walk in and there's, you know, graffiti and PBR stacked to the
right
room.
Not for everybody.
Not for everybody. So that's Bodega. Chris B. sums it up. Look through the tagged up glass into what looks like a basic convenience store. Give your reservation information, receive your key, and walk down into a dimly lit, interestingly decorated restaurant. More information if you want to know about the food or the cocktail menu they got going on there. Of course, you can look at the listing on Yelp. Second kind of awkward is, I think you could put all mobile food into it, and then any place that's like teeny tiny with no place to sit.
Yeah, I think it's like going to a cocktail party where someone serves food that requires like a fork.
Yeah.
And you're standing
yeah
around trying
here's,
to
yeah,
eat.
Yeah, welcome
like,
to my cocktail party. Here's mac and cheese. You're like,
right, okay, now I can't hold my drink and or a plate and or a fork.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
I think so. Basically, any food truck is a little bit awkward. You know that going into it. You're going to get, you know, this bowl of or whatever, and you,
yeah,
you know, you got to kind of finagle your way around it.
Sit on
the curb. Yeah, yeah. One place that came to mind was Grove Market. Again, I'm a huge fan of Grove Market.
Me too.
1906 South Main Street, 4.5 out of 5 stars after 43 reviews. Chloe T. talks about the sandwiches, and here's kind of the awkward part. These things are huge.
As big as your head.
They're bigger than your head. Well, depending
some
on the of size
of
your head. Yeah, I have a pinhead, so they're bigger than my head for sure. These things are huge, she says. You cannot fathom how giant we are talking until you see them. Best to go with a buddy and split one. And then the awkward part comes in where there's like very limited seating and it's all outside.
Yeah, it has to be weather that's worth it. And you're tussling with like construction workers who are there every day knowing they're getting a big awesome sandwich, yeah. Right?
There's a lot of swarthy dudes.
Yes, it's not a place where you're going to find a lot of seating. You're right about that.
Yeah.
It's even awkward eating those giant sandwiches because it's a handful. You got to smash it down and try to get your maw around that thing. They're delicious, though.
I remember, do you remember that commercial, the Reach toothbrush?
Oh, yeah.
I get a flip top head. Yeah. And the guy flips his head all the way back. I've often thought, like, with a sandwich that size, if you could just unhinge your jaw, like,
snake
Python style. Yeah, it'd be good. A little awkward, but
delicious place. And so much hot sauce there. It's great if you're a hot sauce fan. Go check it out.
Yep, that too. Third kind of awkward is messy. So we could have put any barbecue place, any rib place on here. But one place that really sticks out is like an awkwardly messy place. Bucket of Crawfish. Bucket of Crawfish is 1980 West, 3500 South. That's 4 out of 5 stars after 83 reviews. Ooh. This is, let me turn it over to Yelper R. Clark G., who says, usually I can't stand crap on my hands. I don't think he actually means...
or butter or crap. Sauce in this case.
Yeah. Well, I don't know many people who like crap on their hands. I think he means food.
Yeah.
Usually I can't stand crap on my hands, but I dove in headfirst to this dining experience and let the juices run. The novelty of it all is appealing and fun. Put on a bib, cover the table with plastic, and dump your bag of fishy food on the table. Oh, and eat with your hands, but I think that was implied. Here's what I've always said about Bucket of Crawfish. I ate there right after they opened. It's the greatest place to take a first date. At least, because I'm a food guy. So when I was dating, it was like, if you can't, if you're like, oh, we'll go to Chili's.
Yeah, right. Okay, well,
you know what? You go ahead. I'll meet you there.
You want someone who, you want to see if they're going to dive in with the gusto required of Bucket of Crawfish.
Head on the crawfish.
And there's no graceful way to eat a crawfish.
No. I mean, and the shrimp is not deveined. So if you're delicate about it, you're going to be sitting there for an hour trying to de-poop these things. You just go for it. It's awkward, but again, a fun
delicious
experience.
People love it. 4 out of 5 stars across 83 reviews. That's pretty impressive.
Not bad.
I mean, come on.
Not bad. But yeah,
that is sloppy going.
And finally, I think we can all agree that the most awkward dining experience you have is the Zion Curtain.
Yeah, certainly an annoying feature.
I could have pulled reviews from just about any place, but I found a really great one from Rachel B. for Flatbread in Sugar House.
Yeah, relatively new place.
I love that place. I love the vibe. I love the decor. I love the building. I really love Flatbread.
Nice.
But you get the Zion Curtain. She says, the first thing I noticed was the ridiculous Zion Curtain where all alcohol is poured. So you walk up to the bar and it looks like an abandoned water service station. The poor bartenders have to run back and forth between a set of doors to pour liquor and then run out to the tables or back to the bar to serve it. Nice one, Utah DABC. Real nice. Keep drinking those Mountain Dews.
Slam. Oh. You know, it's really the most awkward when you have out-of-town friends. Because those of us who live here and we know the deal, it's kind of like, you know you're not getting ripped off by the bartender back there. But if you're from out of state, you want to see your drink being made, right?
Well, yeah.
Forget about the whole, artisanal cocktail thing that's so big now where people really do want to see the drink made. If I'm ordering a vodka tonic, I don't really care about seeing that made. But it weirds people out who aren't from here.
Well, is the guy going to roofie me back there? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. What's happening? They tell you never to do... Yeah, it's... And, it's a little frustrating and it's not their fault. But there's some restaurants who make little to no effort to... kind of make it look like a nice part of the restaurant, even if you don't really know what's going on back there. Some of them do a lot better job. Finca, I'm thinking of. It's like part of the decor. You don't really think about the fact that, that's there because they have to hide and make drinks. It's just kind of like, that's kind of a cool little glass partition-y thing over there. And,
Yeah, I know Brio, when they came into town, I remember talking with their manager, and he said they had to spend something like $30,000 on it, on the thing. And it's nice, but it is.
Yeah.
It makes for awkward dining.
I feel for the servers who have to talk about it. I feel for the out-of-towners and the people trying to
What's
do business.
What's going on behind that curtain
what
over
is that?
There? Why is there another
Well, you
room?
Know, you can't be trusted to see somebody making that drink. But you can drink it all you want.
So it's awkward.
Awkward.
It's awkward. Well, that's kind of my categorization of the awkward places in town. Again, kind of categories, and then these were just samples of ideas of things that might represent
well
what I'm
done.
Trying to say.
Well done. You covered the
Give
gamut
Yelper an assignment.
Of things.
We'll take care of
there,
it.
And you know when you go to Yelp, there's so many options of all sorts that you can find the goods like that. So tell us where we find you out there in cyber world.
Hit us up at yelp.com. Find us, download the mobile app for any kind of phone that you have, except maybe the Motorola flip phone. I'm on Twitter at Yelp Utah and on Facebook and Instagram at Yelp SLC.
Beautiful. Jeffrey, once again, thank you for coming in, and we'll be talking to you again here in a few weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us at slugmag.com. We've got free comic book day coming up on the first Saturday in May, and we'd like to hear what book you're most looking forward to picking up, or any events you plan on attending around town. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com, or hit us up on Twitter at slugsoundwaves, or facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your suggestions or your events on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer was one Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design is by T-Done, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire us up again next week. We'll be talking to the folks from Oasis Games, as well as the folks behind Dr. Volt's Comics. Thanks for listening.